Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about buying a home you've never seen before. Tips and tricks to buy a home remotely. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome to episode number 37, Buying a Home You've Never Seen Before, Tips and Tricks on Buying a Home Remotely. Today's episode is all about that. It is all about something that's actually been going on quite a while, but this is actually a request from a couple listeners. They want to know, Silas, how do I buy a home from across the country? Because that's the situation they're in, and I know that's a situation a lot of people are in right now. So we're going to go over that. But before we get to that, let me introduce myself. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I'm a real estate agent with Boutique Brokerage here in the Seattle, Washington area. And hey, it's okay. If you're not from Seattle, this podcast is still for you. This podcast is about empowering and educating home buyers all over the nation. In the end, buying a house is buying a house. You use some different terms. You have a couple little different steps, an extra one or one less in another state. Your local real estate agent can help you figure out the differences here. But for the most part, buying the house is buying a house. So this will give you the tips and tricks and confidence you need to go out there and buy your house, especially that first one. The first one, I understand, it's nerve-wracking. I get that that's what most people listening to this show are doing, looking to buy their first home. And to make that even simpler, if this is your first time listening, go back to the first 10 episodes of this program. Episode 1 through 10 is the step-by-step process of buying a home, broken down to those simple chunks. Also, if you want to see this in a visual form, I do have an ebook, the Ultimate Guide for Buying a Home. It's this podcast's official ebook, right? It's a PDF. Just email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com, and I will send that out to you. Again, that's silas@silasgetsreal.com. What else? Folks, if you're enjoying this program, if it brings you any insights, if it helps you a little bit in this process, or maybe just makes you think about something you didn't think before, I would really appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That helps spread the word of this program, that helps support this program immensely. It helps me immensely. And if you're enjoying this, don't you want to help me a little bit? Yeah, I hope so. But if you are in the Seattle, Washington area, Seattle, Tacoma, greater area, I'd love to help you out. I am taking on new clients. If you're not in the Seattle, Washington area, you want to get connected to an agent where you're going or like where you're moving. We especially found that successful if you're moving to a new city and you don't know anybody there and you're like, I need to find an agent that's been vetted, an agent that someone like Silas would trust. Hey, you know what? That's part of what supports this program. Email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. I will email you back. I will send you a few, it's like 7 questions to answer, and then I will connect you with one of my preferred agents in that area, and you'll be off to the races on your home buying journey. It's that simple. Yeah, I know, and I know, I'm sorry I have to go through those each episode for those of you that are binge listening, as you've told me, but I got to go through it. Sometimes this is the first episode that people have listened to, so I got to do it. I'm sorry. But here we are. We're at the end of that. We made it through together. Okay? That's the important thing. We made it through together. So here we are at the end of it. But before we get into the subject of this episode, I want to do our question of the week. I'll just pretend I put these up weekly like I want to. But the question of the week comes from a guy named a listener named Mark. He asked, does pending offer, as stated on Zillow listings, for example, mean it's too late for sure to make an offer of our own? Well, excellent question, Mark. First of all, yeah, you know, there's little things that I don't cover that I don't think about because They're just second nature to me. So, and they may need explanation. So when an offer has gone pending, that means it's in contract or under contract, depending on where you are. It means that they've accepted an offer and they're planning, you know, they're planning on going with this person. They're on a date, they're dating, they're marrying. It's ending. Like, this house is going to get sold to them. So most of the time it is. It's a waste. I wouldn't bother with it. Occasionally you might see they're looking for backup offers. Again, usually that's a waste. The backup offers are to maybe press a little bit. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes you can get a deal by doing a backup offer because you do a backup offer. So you already agree to an amount. So if the offer does fall through, you can get it at a deal. But you have to make sure that you are ready to get out of that if needed, because what if you find a house in the meantime? But I will say it's so rare that we don't bother most of the time. So if it's pending, I can't even really show you the house. I'm not supposed to show you the house anymore, certainly if it's occupied. But I, yeah, so I would kind of count that out. I keep an eye on it in case it pops back up on the market. But for the most part, pending, it's gone. So yeah, that's what it means. Usually you'll see it in your area, active, pending, or sold. Now, please note, no knock on Zillow at all, but sometimes they're not as good at updates as other sources. So check with your agent to see if the house is actually pending or if the update's a little late. It could be sold already. And it really just depends on the situation. What if it was an off market? It wasn't on the market, like wasn't on the MLS kind of home. I kind of recommend. That's why I don't have my clients use Zillow when searching. I usually send them my app to be looking to be looking for stuff, to be honest. So let me get to today's topic. Today's topic, very exciting: buying a home you've never seen before, which to a lot of people, I think sounds absolutely nuts. Why? How could you do that? Nobody would do that. Are you kidding me? But believe it or not, before this technology existed, this is the best time there has ever been to buy a home that you have not seen before. Like, by not seen before, I'm not saying you just plug in an address and you're randomly living there, you don't look at anything, but one that you haven't set foot in. There has never been a better time to do that. But people have been doing this for ages, particularly our military personnel who get sent to new bases, who want to buy a house in the town they're being sent to. They often don't even have time to get there. Maybe the rest of their family can go out there, but a lot of time they're buying it through an agent. And now, you know, with the pandemic that's been happening, I mean, gosh, I hear in parts of the country that people were buying homes before the pictures even got up on MLS. It was just crazy. I wouldn't recommend that. That's kind of insane. But there's a lot of ways I think that you can buy a house remotely and still feel okay. And I just want to go over those because I got this question from a couple people. They completely different reason. One person's relocating to Florida. Got someone moving from San Francisco up to Portland, or they may go to, you know, even stay in the Bay Area. But like, the people have different reasons why they want to go to different places. But sometimes they need to buy the house before they get there, or at least be shopping actively. So let's go over some of these. Okay, my number one thing: trust the agent. You need to find an agent you can trust. I can help you with that. Or have a family member or friends in the area that can go with the agent. People that know your taste, like your taste, ones who you trust to give you honest feedback. Now, granted, there are those family members that you don't want their honest feedback because it's too honest or too picky, or they're just family. And so their opinions with a grain of salt anyway. I get that. But hopefully there's somebody at least a friend that you can trust to walk around who's going to like look for other things and smell for things that you can't see. That's key. If you don't have the family friends, you really got to look at this agent and go like, is this a good agent for me? I mean, you can ask them what they're willing to do, and two, if they have experience doing it. I'll give you the suggestions that you can ask them if they don't have experience doing it. But I mean, it's not that complicated. It is one reason I would choose. I tend to choose agents that aren't slammed busy. I like active agents, but ones that aren't trying to be the number one producer, because they don't tend to have time for you. You know, maybe they'll send a team member out, but some of the work required for these remote purchasing does take a little bit of time, and you want to make sure that they've got it. So what you're going to want to do is with them, they go to the house, and besides, you know, they could take a video and send it to you, but also FaceTime, you know, what, Google Hangout, Zoom, connect on one of those and walk through the house with them. That way you can ask questions and go, oh, what's over there? Just walk around it. Video technology just on your iPhone is so wonderful now that they could do a simple walkthrough. I do walkthrough tours of my house, of houses I list. So there's no reason I can't do that for my buyer, just walking around in it, taking a look, even if just as a preview sometimes, if I'm not sure if they want to come look at it. And that's for local people, right? So, and here's the thing, though. The important thing about looking at the house through video, I think, or FaceTime, is to not just look at the house. Because the house, you can get a lot also from pictures, right? I think it's important to check out the neighborhood. I think it's important to take that agent, that friend, take that video camera, I mean, discreetly so you don't look like a creep, but go up and down the block. Go around, do a circle around. Have the volume clear so you can hear everything, because that's what you want to look for, too. What are the noises? Oh, pictures look great. Video looked great, but it didn't capture the barking yapperdoodle that lives next door, right? It didn't, or the video, maybe you want to take a little peek over the fence and notice that the neighbor has a junkyard in their backyard. Yes, and this is actually true. I've seen it and heard it from other people. You want to see everything you might possibly see. And so walk around that neighborhood with the video and see what it's like. See if you can get a feel. Have your friend try to talk to some neighbors, not necessarily on video, but just to like, hey, see what the vibe is around the town. Though I recommend that in an earlier episode too. You should always talk to the neighbors. So find out stuff about the house. So you definitely should have your friend. I mean, it's probably harder for your friend to do it. You're going to be looking for clues in the house. Like there's certain things, like, I don't know, my house just had a blue house come up on the market that, you know, there's no HOA based off the color they chose, right? But you want to look for a car, like the house that has six cars on it, because when there's a lot of junked cars on the house, oftentimes the inside is kind of junk too. And also it's not sightly, so then you're worried about, oh, what's the resale value going to be? I get asked a lot, but what I want to know, if it's a high crime area. Well, the agent will just tell me that. Now, that's a sensitive topic. High crime stats can be sensitive. There's a lot of agents out there. Some are cowards. Some are just understandably nervous. They don't want to violate a fair housing rule. So they're not going to tell you if it's a quote-unquote safe neighborhood. Because that also depends on the person, right? Somebody coming from New York City to Seattle will think any part of Seattle is 1,000 times safer than even some of the nicest parts of New York, right? So people from New York are never afraid of anywhere in Seattle. But people, I don't know, people from Yakima, Washington get scared in parts of Seattle that I'm like, what? I don't even understand. So there is a website. I'm not endorsing this one, but I have heard of people going to it. It's called city-data.com. Again, that's city-data.com. And there's something you can go and look at all the stats of a city, all the stats of a neighborhood, even city and neighborhood. It's more detailed for the whole city, right? But you can get into the neighborhoods, especially in suburbs. So it'll tell you, you know, incomes, median incomes, the household average size, the stuff about education, where it's ranked, crime in that area, violent crime in the area. Because, and you know, like there's differences. There's parts out here in the Seattle area, some of the suburbs, people would be surprised to find out where some of the high crime is, because where it gets broken into is some of these nicer places that you're like, whoa, I wouldn't expect crime here. And well, yeah, they get a lot of burglaries, or they get a lot of the cars. People come along and check their cars, but it's not like, it's not like violent crime. You're not getting like attacked by, you know, orcs, you know, because I live in World of Warcraft. That's where I'm actually at. So yeah, so I mean, take stats with a grain of salt. Crime doesn't necessarily translate to how safe it is. You got to dig deeper into what kind, and for that you can even go to police departments and start looking at like, okay, what kind of crime is there? Or and some said, you know, go to some Facebook groups, and find out what, or Nextdoor. Oh, no, don't do that. That's just always awful. Some Facebook groups though, to find out, hey, what's the main street where I'm going to find a lot of crime happening? What's the main street in the town? Just ask people. That's what I would find out. That's what I would do after my initial research, to start going in there. Now it's Facebook, so you gotta, you know, avoid the trolls and the, you know, and the just internet racist people that are going to say things. But once you dive past that, you might find some actually cool people and get some straightforward answers, right? Google Maps is your friend. Now, with Google Maps, you can go to it, enter your location, enter your work's location, or your future home location, and figure out, and even times of the day, okay, how long is my commute going to be to these places? Google Maps will prepare you for, oh, how far is it to the local coffee shop, to these popular food places? Google Maps is such your friend for that, because also it's about your lifestyle. Are you somebody who wants and needs walkability? What's the walkability score of this neighborhood? Are you someone who wants to be able to walk a block or two to a restaurant, or are you okay? That's probably a drive or a long walk or a bike ride, what it is. Google Maps, just using that tool. And then here's a couple things to note about buying the home remotely, though. Number one, just be aware, some people will not even take your offer if they find out you have not been to the house. And it's understandable, right? They don't want someone backing out because the person never had been to the home and then decided not to. Now, granted, that doesn't happen much, but sometimes I have heard of this happening, of them saying that they must see the home, particularly in these hot markets. Like, they have plenty of people that they know went and looked at the home and aren't going to back out. They don't want to take a chance at someone who didn't. Now, hopefully, you know, your agent's there and they checked it out. So, and they don't, you know, they can avoid mentioning that they hadn't actually seen it yet yourself. So just that's a word of warning. And the second thing I wanted to bring up here in this spot was, I get the fear all the time from people. What I hear is, yeah, but what if I move there and then I don't like it? And I hear that from people who are moving locally. Like, it's just a common scare and a nervous thing. What if I don't like it? Well, my answer then is, well, then you sell it. Just sell it as soon as you can. As soon as we figure out that you are going to be covered, get it back, you can put it back on the market. You can rent it out. You don't have to live there. You can rent it out to someone and go rent another place somewhere else until you have time to figure it out. But you're not trapped in a house. Yes, the worst thing imaginable could happen. You could buy the house and the market could tank the next day, right? And it's completely, then you're underwater 20%. That theoretically could happen, but chances are it's not. And you'll find reasons to like love it there. But like, if you can just prepare yourself that, okay, if I don't like it, you know, I'm just going to stick it out 1 to 2 years, see how it goes. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money to put down for, I don't know. I haven't seen it. You know, it's gutsy, but like I said, a lot of people do it. A lot of people have always done it. It's like a lot of things, whatever you focus on gets bigger. And if you end up moving there to this home that you didn't like, and you focus on the negatives about that area, you're going to have a horrible time there. That's just how it will be. But if you focus on the things that you liked about the place that made you draw and take this chance on it, you'll love the place and you'll be happy. And the truth is, even if you lived closer, you can move there and regret it, because you don't know oftentimes. Like, you're probably going to be checking out the area better being remote than if you lived here, because you might circle around the block once if you live here. But you're remote, you're like, okay, I need to look around a lot. I need to check everything here. Don't go. We need to look further. Don't move on yet. I just stay there for 10 minutes and let's see what happens. Let's see if an airplane comes by. You know, you'll probably do more due diligence than people that live 20 minutes away from the area. So it's just common fears that you have that we get over. And it's the trouble as a first time home buyer, you have so much fear about the whole process. It's why people buying a second home often also win in offers, because they don't have the fears. They understand that the house buying transaction is not that it's not a big deal, but it's not as big of a deal as we think it is beforehand. It's actually it ends up seeming so smooth, ideally with a good agent. It should seem so smooth. You're like, oh, well, geez, I would have done this years ago if I knew it was this simple. So, and that's it. Folks, that is it. That is it for the program. Those are my tips and tricks. It's not a lot, but I think it's going to help some people out there, don't you? Some people looking to buy remotely. Not everyone is, but hey, some things to think about. Even if you are buying locally, I think a bunch of these things are applicable. But the point is, technology is your friend, and embrace it and use it and get yourself the house. Folks, my name is Silas Sundenstein with Boutique Brokerage in Seattle. And again, if you're looking to buy a home here in the Seattle, Washington area, or need to get connected to an agent in your area, please email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. And don't forget to leave that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts for me. Thank you so much. Happy home buying.